I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. Don't forget, it's supposed to be a great weekend. Well, there's potential for rain on Sunday. But get out and about, go down to the farmer's market, support local restaurants and things like that. But I'm glad you tuned in today. And don't forget, share the information with friends. There's podcasts every week, literally right after the segment. Max is loading them into the system. And if you miss any of the segments, you missed last week's show, you can go to goodlifeguy.com. There's a link that will take you to knssradio.com, and you can have everything. And today we're going to talk about holiday entertaining, but with a twist, literally. Yeah, I got a wine of the week, and it's a great one. It's a Cabernet from Spain. And if you know anything about Spanish winemaking, those two words have only been used together, Cabernet and Spain, in the last two decades. Back when I lived in Spain, you'd be hard-pressed to find a wine based on or 100% Cabernet. But I got one, and it's from a really unusual growing region, unusual, different, Navarre. It's up in the far north-central part of Spain. It's part. But some people will tell you it's part of Basque country. Some will tell you no. It depends on whether they're Basque or a Madrileña, a Spanish person. But that wine's going to be fun. That'll be later. I got some other quick news to talk about, but I'll hold that off to the second half. The wine world lost a star just before Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that. But now we must talk about cocktails. You know, I think I remember back to my parents' parties. Everybody would bring their bottle of booze, and the parents would have mixers set up, and they would make drinks. And I did that some in the early days, but since then it's been pretty much wine. But I think, from my perspective, cocktails have become so much more. There are so many things happening in our country, in the world, for that matter, that have, you know, tales of the cocktail, some of these bartender competitions, with books like the one we're going to talk about. It's simply called Every Cocktail Has a Twist. Master 25 classic drinks and craft more than 200 variations. It's with my guests, husband and wife team, Carrie Jones and John McCarthy. Hi, you guys. Welcome to The Good Life.
Thanks for having us. Happy to be here.
Hi, how are you?
Well, and you know, there's a little bit of pause in there. We just talked through it. It's okay. So if I step on you, keep the faith. We'll back up and we'll get you and vice versa. So, you know, I did a little research about you guys. You are a fine-looking young couple, and you've been very productive in bartending, in making books. Is this your second book, John?
It is. Our first book was called Be Your Own Bartender. Came out in 2018.
Yeah, and, you know, that it's such a handy tool. I went and looked at some of the pages that I could find on Amazon. And, you know, it's a way that you can make creativity and a party based on that. And you don't have to make the drink so powerful that everybody gets schnockered. And you don't have to drink two cases of wine for 10 people, you know. So let's go back and talk about you two. I think you have an interesting story that, how you got together, where how that played out, and how you ended up being where you are today, and then what got you to write Every Cocktail Has a Twist.
Absolutely. The joke we have between us is that the first cocktail John ever made me was so good I married him. It's mostly a joke. I think we still say it's about 90% a joke. We met more than 10 years ago. John was running the cocktail program at an amazing bar and restaurant in Manhattan. I was friends with the chef, came in to have a few bites, and was just really impressed by the cocktails. Started chatting. I ended up interviewing him, writing about him, and 12 years later, here we are with our second book and a toddler. So it all went well.
So the way it worked, John, was, she reviewed me.
I hope it was a good review.
Yeah. And well, here we are.
Yeah. But growing up, and this is, everybody asks me, when did I start liking wine? My folks in the restaurant business, everybody's heard this, but, and I thought their wine list was magnificent in the day, mostly French. And when I say in the day, we're talking about the 60s, and California wasn't happening yet. But cocktails were, and they had one of the biggest bars that was such a destination. I mean, I'm talking, I believe, if I remember correctly, and I'm kind of wagging here, but if you have filled every chair at their bar in the steakhouse that they owned, it would hold 100 people. You know, and then they had a piano bar. That, you know, you could get like 20 people around, and cocktails were fun. So you guys get together in a time where the cocktail stuff is just kind of, well, it's been catching wind for the last 10 years, I think. I don't remember when Tales of the Cocktail started, but certainly bartender competition, the thing. And John, you as a bartender in New York, I bet you, we could just talk to you about stories from that time period.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was already working in bars and restaurants with bartending when the classic cocktail trend really started. And I was seeing the my contemporaries really going deep into research. And I thought to myself, like, how are they figuring out all these old drinks? And then I discovered they were reading all these old cocktail books. And I thought to myself, I know how to read. So I went and I bought a bunch of these old cocktail books and started teaching myself how to do it and started putting them out there. As I learned them, I started making them behind the bar.
Yeah. Well, you know, that sounds easy and you paraphrased it nicely, but to develop a reputation, to develop the skills and have the memory to put them together consistently and make people go, wow, is kind of a challenge. And I think that's where, in my opinion, things have changed, you know. Bartenders used to be whoever you could get to stand behind the bar and not thieve booze or money, and they could make all the standards, you know, and we've certainly come a long way from that.
Well, that's still an important part of the job, I think. Yeah. John will tell you.
not a given. I'm laughing because, yeah, trying to make sure nobody's drunk or stealing from you is very that's a not an easy thing to find every time.
No. John, did you have professional training ever in your journey as a bartender, or was it all self-study?
All self-study. I started in the kitchen. I was a dishwasher, and then I was a line cook in college, and then I moved to the front of the house because you make a lot more money in the front. I always said in the front of the house, there's candlelight, music, and pretty girls.
It's not hot, and you're not standing up the whole time.
And nobody's yelling at you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Wait, yes, chef. Been there, done that. Okay, then. So, Carrie, you meet John, makes you a great drink, and you guys kind of hit it off. Did you have interest in spirits before you guys met?
I did, absolutely. At the time, I was the managing editor at a food website called Serious Eats, where I worked for a number of years. And my background was really in food writing, but I always loved the way that food intersected with so many different worlds, with wine, obviously, with travel, and with cocktails. And this was sort of late aughts when the classic cocktail trend really was coming back. And it was just a fascinating world to discover and be a part of, particularly in New York City, when so many really exciting bars were opening up. So I had already done quite a bit of cocktail writing, but through meeting and getting to know John, really we started collaborating more on the recipe side of things, which has always been so interesting for me because I have a lot of knowledge from one side of the bar, from the side of the bar of the person drinking, and a lot of professional knowledge there, but I've never been behind the bar. So John really contributes the professional side, and I contribute the writing side.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that both of you have time in the kitchen because there's direct correlation between being able to assemble food and also being able to assemble a cocktail with all the various ingredients that we have available to us today. How about this, John?
I think that the craft cocktail trend really wasn't too far behind, you know, the rise of the Food Network and the idea of celebrity chefs and local ingredients and all that. I think, you know, the concept of being a foodie, you know, some of these things we sort of laugh at now. But I think that sort of the attention and care people pay to the ingredients and technique in cocktails really is a direct outcome of the same thing happening in the food world.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And it's so funny, you know, you mentioned the Food Network. I went to the first 26 years of the Aspen Food and Wine Classic. And, of course, in the beginning, it really was all wine. But as the years progressed, sure, more spirits got involved. My first 25-year-old single malt scotch was tasted there. You know, you get the picture. Some of the big names were there. Certainly some of the big bartenders or mixologists were there. And I think, like you said, the emphasis on high quality food and how it's made and with what ingredients has bled into making great cocktails. And God, when you think, I'm not a big fan of some of the ultra fancy smoked, infused drinks, but we've really come a long way. I'd love to see if my mom and dad could be here. I'd love to see what they have to say if they thumb through your book and look at the basics, the classic cocktails, but then looked at some of the variations that you guys have come up with. I think that would be really interesting. And, I still could hear my mom when the night was over at the restaurant and I got rousted up sleeping on a cot in the back room to go home. And it's, 2:30 in the morning. And she'd go, "Hey, let's have one for the road." And she would have something stupid like a white Russian or, something with cream de coco in it. And I'm thinking, I just want to go home. Oh, well. Well, tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll kind of start talking about the book. I think if you go to a bar and you can keep yourself from ordering a gin and tonic or a rum and coke, nothing wrong with either of those, but ask the bartender, and I've done this, so what are you famous for? What can you make that will wow me? I like bourbon. Go. And sometimes just watching that happen is entertaining. And then when you get it, it's like a whole nother world in a glass. It's not just bourbon and coke. It's, it's something really special. And some of the ingredients that we use these days, pretty amazing stuff. So you guys stay where you are. I'll stay right here. Max will take us to a commercial break. We come back. We're talking about every cocktail has a twist. 25 classic drinks and craft, more than 200 variations by my guests, Kerry Jones and John McCarthy. There's information at Good Life Guy. The book came out in November. You can order a copy right now, and there's a link that'll take you right to Amazon.com to get a copy. We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
I'm I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.